Hello, my name is Richard Cox, and I'm joined by Tim Freak, as always, for another one of our Deep Awake Dialogues. And today we're joined by Tim van der Vliet, who is a Dutchman, an ex-stock trader, and now a spiritual seeker stroke teacher. And Tim and Tim are lined up to do an event in the Netherlands coming up in September, and that's called, what is it, Waking Up... to the paradox of life, waking up to enter in. Okay. So, Tim van der Vliet, welcome.
Hi.
Thank you.
It's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Yeah. It could be Python-esque or something, couldn't it?
For Baldy and Hairy and just see if that works.
Yeah, we could do that, or Tim 1 and 2, but then we would get into a fight. Who is number 2?
Yeah.
Who's going to be duality?
I'm somewhere in the middle on the hair streak, so heading towards you, Tim Freak. Tim van der Vliet, why don't you get us rolling here by explaining a little bit about your previous career and that exciting story that happened to you where you left the financial world and ended up doing what you're doing now?
Well, yeah, it, afterwards it's a beautiful story, and when it happened, it just happened. But there were two parts. One part was where I lost all my money within 6 months' time, and this was 600,000 euros. And it was, like those stories of rock bottom where, for 6 months I was living in fear and waking up in the middle of the night, and I was drinking every day. And it was one of my rock bottoms. I'm sure you had yours, Richard, and Tim had his. It started with I was very carefree and I was doing really good. And suddenly I started to worry about losing everything that I owned. And now I know I don't own anything, but back then I was of a different consciousness. And I started to, to change the patterns, the thought patterns that I had. And it ended up in, 6 months of hell, you could say. I'm laughing about it now because I've learned a lot from it, which I will get to in a bit. But it was 6 months of hell. And in 6 months' time, I lost 600,000 euros. And this is not a story of, like those stock traders, Ferraris and prostitutes and pink champagne. I was just riding my bicycle to the exchange back and forth. And I even had the same hair back then. So I was even called a hippie trader, hey, hippie, what are you doing? And then I always said, no, I'm not a hippie trader. I'm a yippie trader, a yuppie hippie trader. I look like a hippie, but I have a credit card. But then 6 months later, I had to hand in the credit card, because I lost all my money. So that was one point that was, massive rock bottom for me, where I remember vividly the day after, where, my nightmare had become reality, basically. My biggest fear, losing everything that I had, or all the money that I had in the company. And I had a really interesting and kind of awkward experience the day after. Just imagine your worst nightmare just came true. And I was relieved. And it felt so weird. I could breathe deep, and like all the weight I had on my shoulders was gone. And that was one of the big lessons that I learned, that fearing something may actually be worse than that something might happen. So with losing all my money, I also lost the fear of losing my money. So that was a big, massive change for me. And I started changing afterwards. I started to read books and, become a bit more aware. But I still traded the financial world. But now I was working together with really extremely clever people, like doctor in mathematics and quantum physics, like extremely intelligent people. And I started to wake up in that sense that I started to read, watch films, and just become more conscious. And the funny thing is that I felt my forehead. So every time I got this book, I didn't feel it, and that book, yes. So I learned to follow my intuition, and I call this my open up phase, where I awakened, basically. And it took me about 2 years. So I was working in the day, 5 days a week, normal office hours. three kids at home, being a dad at home, and at night I was just studying. I slept for about 2 hours to 4 hours per night for about 2 years long. And it ended up with leaving the company because it was time to go. And then 6 weeks later, I didn't know what to do. You know, I had some money. I sold stock. I was a partner. I sold my stocks. I had some space to breathe, basically. I didn't know what to do. And then I had this idea, like, I want to write a book, because I wrote down my own insights on paper, you know, and I had a little blog with 30 people on it. And then 6 weeks later, my book, which is called Spiritual Awakening, The Easy Way, which I will get in a second so I can show you. It's a little black book with a white dot on it. And this was first published by myself and then published by Hay House. And this is where I became a teacher, basically, kind of fluently, you could say.
I have to say, I've read the book. And
you did?
I did read the book.
I like you.
I have to say, the most intriguing part to me was when you met your spiritual guru or teacher, Sammy. And if my editing skills work, I'll put a picture of Sammy up on screen. If it's not appearing now, it's because I've got terrible editing skills. So you'll have to look up the book on Amazon. I'll bring it up. We'll link it up below as well. But the reason for the picture of Sammy, because Sammy is he a bulldog or is he bigger than a bulldog? He's a big dog. It's your neighbor's bulldog. Dog. Yeah.
It's the most ugly dog in the world. Sorry, no
they
offense.
Are. They are ugly, yeah.
People, but.
No, they are. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, you know? Yeah, so Sammy is my neighbor's bulldog. And the dog really exists. What I mean with it is when you start to awaken, you do not start to follow a guru, you know, like the typical Indian guy with the big beard who knows better than you. Like, oh, he knows better than me. I'm going to follow him. It's about trusting your gut feeling, your intuition, because that is, you know, I'm my guru and Tim is his guru and Richard is your own guru. And you know, the dog Sammy, it's a terrible dog, actually. You know, he speaks out of line, he smells, he loses hair. It's like, it's a typical guru, you know, like very imperfect, basically. But so the dog really exists. It did inspire me. But what I mean with it is that people follow your own heart, follow your intuition, instead of, you know, find somebody who you think knows better than you, because nobody knows better than you what is good for you.
What I love about what I've seen Tim do, and I've had the pleasure of walking in on a session in that I was also speaking at, and seeing just a crowd of people doing the most outrageous things and full of laughter and fun, for me the way I often say it when I'm on my own retreats is that the awakening is the most serious thing I know. And the really deep awakening is the deepest thing I know. So you really need to approach it also in a playful way, because if you be playful and relaxed enough, then this awakening can just kind of happen of itself. That's and what I see in what I love about whenever I'm in conversation with you, Tim, is I just pick that up from you all the time.
Yeah, it's you know, joy is a extremely high energy. You know, like some teachers would be like, love is all. And I agree, you know, but there's not like one truth. And in a way, let me tell you, this is going to take 2 minutes, but there's different levels of truth. You know, the chakra system, you know, we have seven chakras and stuff like that. Well, it aligns with the chakras. So like the first truth is surviving. You know, and on that level, that first level of truth, if you are threatening to kill me, I'm actually allowed and maybe even a hero if I defend myself and kill you. You know, so on that level, it's okay to kill people. Then a level higher would be like the family level, you know, where it's okay to steal. I mean, if your kids can't eat, it's okay to steal food for your children, right? And then on a third level, it would be status and money and dualism, you know. We're all one would be a spiritual thing to say, but you, Tim, and Richard are sitting in the UK and I'm here, you know, I can't touch you. So on that level, we are separated, basically. Then a level higher will be the heart level, loving, you know, and from this level and up, you could say we're all one big organism. So, loving, you know, and on a level of love, then all that status and money and stuff like that, it really doesn't matter, you know. And then one level higher would be expression. You know, it's actually a lot easier to love than to truly express yourself. Mm. You know what I mean? So there could be even a higher truth is to express yourself. And you could say that telepathy, mm. Yeah, that is on that level. So I could transfer without speaking a message to you, Tim, that, you know, I feel like having a sandwich of hummus, for example, you know. And then a level higher is where this information is ordered. It's the intuitive level. Yeah, so on that level, I know I have to go to the right here in this street, but I have no clue what's happening. And there I meet, you know, like my true one, for example, the love of my life. And I didn't know why I had to go there. I just knew my intuition was telling me I had to go there. Then on a seventh level is where we're all pure, boundless energy. Nothing more, nothing less. You know, if you look at quantum mechanics, we don't differ from a stone. You know, on a quantum mechanic level, we're all just electrons and protons spinning at the speed of light, you know, and we don't differ from a stone. Now, on level eight is, you could say, here, this is the level where, you know, I think Osho, it was Osho who said, it's all an illusion. And Muji is saying, everything is a concept. You know, which is true on that level. And then this is the level where I believe where joy is, you know. So here, it's maybe even a higher energy than intuition, than loving, you know. It's bloody scary to follow your joy, let's be honest, you know. And then there's the eight, so that's level eight, is everything is a concept. It's all an illusion, you know, like spiritual teacher like. And then level eight plus is the power of paradox, where yes, everything is an illusion, including the idea that everything is an illusion. Everything is a concept, including the idea that everything is a concept. So joy is that highest level where everything is just a concept and an illusion, and the level above, the plus level, is the power of paradox, which is my highest truth.
So on that subject, okay, the event is around paradox, and you're talking about joy, and I can see why, as an observer, the two Tims here, it sort of makes sense the doing an event together, or I can see a similarity, let's say, because I think in a lot of the non-dual spiritual world, there is this kind of withdrawnness, and not say, I don't know if not engaging with joy is the right thing, but there's like people who are very into it or are teaching it don't come across as having a kind of vibrance for life, a kind of passionate vibrance for life necessarily all the time. And I kind of see that in the both of you, the getting into this like level eight, as you were describing there, Tim, and this kind of it's all an illusion thing doesn't lead to that withdrawn sense of it's all an illusion, so we'll sit in the cave and not engage with it. Kind of, it's all illusion. It leads to an engagement, a joyful engagement, an affectionate engagement with life itself, with the dream going on around us, with the forms, with the play of Maya. So the power of paradox then. Tim Freak, maybe, is that where you're going with the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's what was, that's when we met up and said, let's do something together in Amsterdam. It was that Tim had this same passion as I had for paradox. You know, I'm a philosopher. That's one of my hats. I'm a love junkie, but I'm a philosopher also. And so, you know, I end up disagreeing with everyone, especially myself. So, you know, I could, you know, sit with Tim for an hour now and go, what the hell were you just talking about? And we could pick it over, and I would want to question quite a bit and blah, blah, blah. But it's difficult for me, in all honesty, to find that many people who are exploring this that I genuinely resonate with, because it's a very, you know, I'm questioning. But what I love about when we've talked, Tim, is that you have this deep understanding and love of paradox. And for me, that is a foundational thing. There's kind of two foundations. One is the mystery, which is I don't know, so it's all my best guess. And that humility that comes from that. And one of the paradoxes straight away is I know and I don't know. Exactly. And we talked about it earlier when we talked about, look, this is the most serious thing, therefore it needs to be playful. And I think for me, paradox, I developed this idea of paralogical thinking, where you can think in opposite perspectives, because it seems to me that the fundamental, why, you know, I agree with you, it is a kind of very deep realization, is because what we're in here is fundamentally all one and all separate at the same time. That's the essential thing, which I don't think you can miss. Spiritually, that's true. In physics, it's true. In every way, and that both of those are true. And that it's one thing expressing itself as many things. And so on a metaphysical level, that's a very deep realization. And then how you live with that, how you live knowing you're a separate or individual expression of the whole is very different than if you've just got one or the other. If you're trying to push away the separate self, like a lot of non-dual spirituality, unfortunately, I feel does, or you haven't even thought of it and you're just stuck in your separateness, like is very common in the world, obviously. So for me, it's like, so you came to this power of paradox also. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to having the chance to spend a few hours with you in Amsterdam, being able to pick over different insights around that.
It's funny what you say with, you know, like I contradict myself. I'd say that too, you know, like I'm one of the few teachers who contradicts himself within the same sentence, and I'm proud of it. You know? But yeah, so the paradox is a very interesting thing. So just to for people who are watching this, what is a paradox? You know, a paradox is basically something that is true and untrue at the same time. For our minds, this is just not possible. You know, our minds, they have to label. It's either black, white, female, male, true, untrue, you know, separated, whole, whatever. And that is the power of the paradox. Because if you hear a paradox, you know, if you're in, you know, you're teaching people or in a crowd and you blurt out a paradox and you let people think about it, you get this funny look, you know, and you're like, so what's happening now? And they're like, I'm confused. And that's like, bang. Because what's happening, and this is the power behind the paradox, if you hear a paradox, your mind program basically crashes because it's not possible. And if your mind crashes, then what is left? You could call it heart, love, heart thinking, intuition, gut feeling, whatever. So that is the power of paradox, you know? And
so interesting. So for me, it's slightly different to that, in that it feels like it's not that the thinking mind collapses, it's that a deeper level opens up in which you're able to think in a different way with greater clarity. And, you know, because the thing about paradoxes, it seems to me, is that they, a bit like it's all one and it's all many, that in saying it like that, it's actually a contradiction. But understanding, like the ocean can be many waves but all one water, it's not a contradiction. You can get that. It's just a paradoxical statement, because you can see how they're both true. The one that I use in my book, Deep Awake, and is so simple, is when I say, you know, this morning, like most mornings, I saw the sunrise. And that's true, but I could also say the sun doesn't rise, because actually this doesn't go anywhere. You know, the earth is moving around the sun. And so if I say I did and didn't see the sunrise, that's true if you understand the nuance of the thinking, which says you need to see these two these from two opposite but complementary perspectives. And that seems to me actually to open up not just it frees you from that limited this or this, but opens up a kind of a richness of thought, which enables you to express deeper intuitions about life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to think those thoughts. And just like, you know, the famous yin yang opens up a deeper intuition about the nature of life, because it enables you to see, opposites actually sit together. That's their nature.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, the quote of Einstein, we have the rational mind and the intuitive mind, and we've created a world where the rational mind is the servant, and we have created a world where we honor the servant and forgot about the gift. So that is what you're saying, and I completely agree with it. So that paradox is crashing the rational mind, the logical mind, and it opens up the intuitive mind, so the deeper understanding. And the funny thing is that Osho, he said once, the paradox is life's logic. And if you think of that, you know, like, okay, logic is the rational mind. But with a paradox, that rational mind doesn't work anymore. So what is left is the intuitive mind. So the paradox is life's logic, means the intuition, the intuitive mind. This is what life is about. This is the logic of life, which is not to be understood with that rational mind.
Yeah, I think the rational mind's a fabulous thing. It's just that its limitation is that to think of something rationally is just to give good reasons for something. But if you are working logically, you can only work from certain premises. So anything which I say to you, which I go is rational or logical, is assuming the premises. Otherwise, you have to go back and back and back and back and back. And the problem is that any place you put yourself is one perspective on something which by its nature is multidimensional. And ultimately, you need like two opposite perspectives, it feels to me. If we can get paradox, we can open up to seeing it, just like you're doing in a way, like in a conversation, I think. Just the fact that people have different perspectives on everything. But on reality, like we're doing now, immediately where they meet, there's a greater richness than if you're just stuck in the one perspective, because you've never challenged the basis on which you're going, it's either this, or that's my rationale. So when you see people trapped in thought, when thought becomes a limit, it always seems to me it's because they're thinking based on a foundation they haven't questioned. And therefore everything is coming from that. And what mystery does, and what paralogical thinking does, and what paradox does, is it says you can see it from a fundamentally different baseline. You can find a different place to stand and see reality from these different perspectives. And then, like you said, it opens up creativity, because you can see things in whole new ways. And that's probably another word for intuition, I suggest.
I'm curious to know what people can expect if they come along to this event you're running. I'm curious about that. I'm really trying to get into what both of you try and convey in your teaching. For example, Tim Freak, I think I was drawn to your work many years ago because it had this different take on Eastern philosophy and wasn't this very kind of withdrawn from the world kind of thing, but it was withdrawn and engaged. And I think that came across overtly in what you said, and also through your mannerisms and the way you are. And it comes through Dutch Tim too.
Did you call me Dutchy Tim?
Dutch Tim. We could have Glastonbury Tim and Dutch Tim. So what are you trying and convey in your work to people? And like, what do you get people coming along who have been into spirituality a certain way, perhaps into the non-dual thing, who are looking more for how to integrate that into life? Is that what you'll be doing on the workshop? What's it important to you to convey to people who come along to your stuff?
Well, first of all, it can be for, you know, like really rational people, because you know, like I like that rational part, you know, I like to talk about this rational part, but also for, you just said, you know, like some people in the spirit world, they're not vibrant, you know, like the typical ashram where people's energy can be gray, you know, like how is that possible if you're so working on spirituality? So it can be for a lot of different people. And what I think is important about this, how do you become vibrant? Yeah, so I just explained about these 8 plus levels of truth, basically. Now, if my cat just died and you're telling me, oh, but it's all an illusion, you know, I think like, you know, like, please just, you know, I'm hurt here. So what we are 8+ dimensional beings, you could say, you know, and if you tell me that your cat died and I would be, this is all an illusion, that is, you know, that is just, it's not thinking. Then if I can be on that level with you where, you know, you're really hurt and I feel I'm empathic with you, this is where I can help you. And, you know, our communication is flowing, and we're, you know, I can maybe be of help or maybe be a bit of comfort for you, and, you know, like even help you bury your cat, for example, you know. So it's important that you're aware of those 8 levels and that you can communicate with different levels and from different levels with different people. So I think that is very important, and that comes together with a lot of joy, you know. If you, for example, if you meditate every day but you're not enjoying life, maybe you should just go and play with your kids. Maybe that's better exercise, you could say. And then, I have some exercises to, you know, to really let this idea sink in. And I'm sure that Tim Freak has also some exercises. And, well, I believe you can be grounded and ultimately with your head and spirits at the same time, which is just another paradox. You know, and with these paradoxes, yeah, I'm often have a lot of joy when it comes to paradoxes and talking about it, you know. But for example, what Tim just said, knowing you know nothing, you know, that's just another one. And it makes you humble. It makes you like a child, actually. Because if you know nothing, you can be like a 4-year-old again, you know. Like, instead of us discussing, you know, the difference between spirit and soul, you know, we would both be like, really, what do you think? Because, you know, I know nothing, so come on, bring it on. Well,
I think what will be obvious from what Tim's just said is, I think what's going to happen for our 2 hours, they're going to go really fast in Amsterdam, is that Tim's going to talk, I'm going to talk, and we're both going to do stuff. It's going to be practical. And I think because of the way we both are, there's probably going to be a lot of emphasis on having some fun as well and enjoying it. I want to share the deepest ideas I possibly can in the shortest period. But I'm sure we're going to do that with some fun. And I also want to do, to lead some practical things. And as you know, Richard, but I mean, I'll say it because it, for people that maybe don't, what, for me, where we can really experience the power of paradox is with each other. Because what I've always have when I connect here, I'm seeing faces. I'm seeing pixels on the screen. But behind the pixels on the screen is the face. And behind the face is the thing that I'm actually connecting with. When I see Tim, when I see you, Richard, and what I'm connecting with is another conscious being looking back at me, and I can't see that. So with you, I experience you as a paradox. I experience you as something I can see and something I can't. Something which is made, I can touch, and something I can't. And to really be conscious of that I am also something you can see and something you can't. And that the something you can't, my being, is connecting with the invisible being that you are through the looking. And that is so profoundly paradoxical. And when we don't see it and we just live on the surface, it's amazing. But when you see through and you connect through the looking with the thing you can't see, being to being, that's where these deeper levels, which Tim's been talking about, just open up of themselves. So for me, I really hope that our time together is going to be not just a very interesting discussion of paradox, but actually a direct experience of its power to bring it to life, to fill you full of joy, to open up the love, and that we're going to walk out of that in a very, very different state to the one that we all entered in.
Yeah. And to add something to that, I completely agree, and I just love, you know, like my heart is like when you're talking, so thank you. I think, not a paradox, thank you, I think. Okay. I want to say, we all have this rational mind, and it's producing how many thoughts? 60,000, 60, 1,000 per day, I believe, you know, like I learned from surfing. It's a great expression. You cannot control the sea, but you can learn to ride the waves. And that's much like with your head. So some thoughts you just, you know, you want to think positive, but you know, 90% of your thoughts are subconsciousness. So it's about cleaning up that subconsciousness. And the power of paradox is a very simple tool you can use in daily life whenever your mind is being disruptive, or, you know, some people call it the monkey mind, or, you know, the feeling not good enough, having those feelings. Then the power of paradox can, it's like the simplest tool that can, it can snap you out of your disruptive thought pattern, you know, your limited mindset, just like that. So it's also extremely practical. It's like the highest philosophy ever, you know, the 8+ level. But at the same time, it's so simple that it can snap you out of that limited mindset.
It's completely right. I feel compelled because I want to share it, but it also feels like, hang on, we're doing the workshop now, aren't we? What you just said is so true, Tim, because for me, one of the things which the practical applications of it for me is, I think you can waste an awful lot of time in life trying to get rid of something which is causing you distress, where it's actually much more effective to find the opposite that you've missed. So for instance, like you said, when you're having thoughts which are driving you nuts, which we all have, trying to get rid of them can be really hard. But going, hang on, am I conscious of the silence in which the thoughts are arising? Have I lost that end of the paradox? And by shifting your attention to that and not worrying about the thoughts, the thoughts will change themselves, which is one of the fundamental techniques in meditation. It's such a simple thing. Look for the opposite you're missing. You know, if you're stuck in separateness, wake up to oneness. If you're marooned in oneness, come on in. Come into life and engage with the challenge. And so I'm looking forward to playing on with all of these immense, the power of paradox. I'm looking forward to turning it up.
Me too. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
This is the first time we're, you know, because that's another thing. We go into that workshop kind of unprepared, you know. I feel you, you know, and exactly that part behind your face and your glasses, you know, I connect with you. And it's really cool to not prepare at all, to see where it brings us. And I'm pretty sure that we don't agree, but then we probably agree that we disagree or whatever. And it's full of paradoxes and imperfectness. You know, like imperfection, I mean. It feels extremely good at this moment. And this is our first time together. And yeah, I'm shining, you know, it feels good.
So the workshop is on the 9th of September?
So yes, there's two things.
Sorry, Tim?
There's two events. I'm going to come to Holland and give a talk on soul story, on the philosophy of emergent spirituality. I'm going to do all of that on the evening of the 8th, starting at 7:30. And then Tim and I are doing the paradox of life, waking up to enter in, on 4:00 on the 9th. And they're both at the Conscious Club, which Tim, I haven't been there.
The Conscious Club is like a beautiful place in the center of Amsterdam. It's at the Lauriergracht 142. Doesn't say anything, but maybe somebody who's in Amsterdam is like, it's the middle of the Jordaan. It's beautiful. It's really high ceiling. It's really nice. And this is where I do most of my teachings, you know. So it's basically my home base. And it's very cool to invite you there, you know. And also to hang out with you, of course, here in Amsterdam. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, so Friday evening, you're on 7:30. You're on alone. And together we're on from 2 to 4 on Saturday the 9th at the Conscious Club.
Relax. Okay. We'll put details of these events, of Tim's work and of Tim's work and of Tim's books and Tim's books, beneath the video or wherever you're watching this. And the Netherlands is literally my favourite country. So if anyone's watching this outside of the Netherlands, I would, if you've not been there, I would strongly recommend you consider visiting, and maybe this is a good opportunity, because it's my favorite place is Netherlands. So thank you very much, Tim and Tim. I think maybe after the event we can record something else and get your reflections on how it went and where it all took you. So thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks, Tim.